Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll talk some golf coming up in just a moment with Jeremy Schilling. But let me remind you, there's still time this holiday season to give blood and save a life. In fact, it's going on today, right now, until 4 p.m. at Cruise Subaru. And then also tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cruise Subaru. All donors receive a complimentary certificate for $35, good for auto service, parts, accessories at Cruise Subaru, and a long-sleeve T-shirt. It has been chilly lately. Appointments are preferred, but obviously at this point, walk-ins are welcome. So it's going on until 4 o'clock today, and then 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow at Cruise Subaru. No fan talk today because of Gamecocks basketball, but Bobby will be on location. He will be at one of the crews next week on Tuesday, and then I think that'll be his final show. I don't want to speak for him, but I think then he'll be done until 2022. The schedule is going to be a little sporadic here through the holidays until 2022. So for us, this will be our final show. We'll catch up with Jeremy Schilling. Actually, Joe, Jeremy just messaged me and said he hung up by accident. So awkwardly to do this on air, but we'll have to call Jeremy back. And we'll link up with him to talk some golf. And we'll do so in just a moment. By the way, somebody brought in, you know, yesterday I was talking about Christmas cookies. Too often, this is where people get it wrong with the Christmas cookies. Too often they focus on the looks instead of the taste. The most important thing is always about the taste. And we'll get these very decorative Christmas cookies. But they'll taste like crap, right? You're biting into cardboard. They're so thick and they have no taste to them, but they look really nice. Don't give up the flavor of the cookie for the design. Or if you really want to design a nice looking cookie, hang it on your mantle and don't serve it. Right, that's where people go wrong with the Christmas cookies. It's got to be all about the taste. Don't forget the taste for the look. Anyway, somebody brought in cookies today. They're not Christmas cookies. They're just store-bought chocolate chip cookies. I have to be honest, I had more than one during the commercial break just a moment ago. These are fantastic. I don't know where they came from. These chocolate chip cookies in the back, they are excellent.
Who brought them in?
Yeah, I don't
once
know.
Once again, no one tells me these things. Oh. I come in, and no one tells me these things.
You always got to check the back.
Yeah. What is it with you know, the staff around here? What do they have against me?
We don't have enough time in the day.
It's a conspiracy.
That's right.
I swear it is.
My office is back there, and I don't spend a whole lot of time in my office around here. But I'll run back there every once in a while just to check my emails or anything. And fortunately, that's when I see all the goodies. Somebody brought in these cookies. They're fantastic. I don't know where they're from. They're just store bought. They're in a plastic container. They're just soft enough. Very chocolatey, right? You can't get the cookies that are too hard. Like a Chips Ahoy, too hard. Sorry, can't do it. It's got to have a nice little softness to it, like you just took it out of the oven. I'm going to go back for more during the next commercial break. But my mouth is very watery right now. Right, you have a cookie, and then it makes the saliva build up, so we're going to get through it. Joining us now, he joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. And he's on Twitter at Jay Schill, our resident golf expert, writes for PGA Magazine. And we catch up with him each week. He's with us now. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, Joe. Keep your mic open for a second. My mom alerted me to this last night. There is a chocolate shortage right now in some parts of the country.
Oh no! Sounds like coal in your stocking.
Yep, and it is due to the global supply chain crisis.
There's been a shortage
so
of everything.
You may want to hoard those cookies and not go back during the next commercial break and have one.
That's a good point. I may have to. There's a shortage of everything. We're having a chicken tender shortage now. Chocolate. That's the worst.
There's
thing
a chicken tender shortage.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But there already was a wing shortage.
Yeah, there was a
which
wing
is why,
shortage.
Yeah, one of our sponsors, Wingstop, you know, had to become Thigh Stop.
Yes, because then it became about the chicken thighs instead of wings, and now I see there's a chicken tender shortage. And I'm a big chicken tender guy. So, yeah, that's bad news. So you're killing me here. That's half my diet is chicken tenders and chocolate. So I'm in big trouble now.
Blame my mom, Luke. Blame my mom. Unbelievable. You did not hear that from me.
Unbelievable. Ruin my holidays.
So this time when the chicken tries.
Sorry about that.
So this time when the chicken tries to cross the road, he may not make it.
That's right. We can look forward
Where's that snare shot?
Yeah, that's right. We can look forward to more of those. The jokes only get better in the new year around here on the Morrow Midday Show. Let's hope. he's on Twitter at Jay Schill, Jeremy Schilling, who joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. All right, let's get into it. Because, of course, the big story we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks was Tiger Woods' return. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of it live, but I did see highlights online. And from what I saw, he looked like any old Tiger Woods just from a physical standpoint. I don't know about the golf itself, but just seeing him walking around out there, from my perspective, you wouldn't think he was involved in that terrible crash less than a year ago. For you, and obviously you know the game much better than I do, but take us through it. What'd you think? Tiger came out, played this past weekend. Your takeaways from the PNC Championship and the return of Tiger Woods.
Stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And he said it on Sunday. Kudos to all the surgeons at Cedars-Sinai and all the specialty hospitals out there in Los Angeles. What they've done is just God's work. And they do this for non-celebrities and celebrities every day. And to get Tiger to where he can walk and function and have fun with his son and, you know, kick a soccer ball with Sam. I mean, it's just incredible what the medical staff has been able to do. Luke, he said he took 0 days off and that if one part of him hurt and they couldn't, you know, they wouldn't let him do something else. They clearly let him do some other stuff. 0 days off. And what was so stunning to all of us who follow Tiger's game is in golf, it's very easy to see when you have not been practicing. It's very easy to see when you have not been playing. And you may remember that I came on this show a couple weeks ago and had a suspicion that he was going to play this event because he had his best friend and swing advisor, Rob McNamara, videotaping his swing. Those are grind sessions. A lot of these players were not grinding. So the fact that Tiger's out there having Rob look at his swing, the swing looked good. The wedges, especially from 120 yards and in, the stuff he's been really able to practice were sensational, much better than they were last year when he had two correctly functioning legs. And his putter was hot all weekend. And I do think that finishing second, look, it's a scramble, anything can happen. We knew that Tiger could win this event, and Charlie could. But the way they did it, shooting 62 on Saturday, not making all the birdie opportunities they had, and then shooting 57 on Sunday, including 11 straight birdies. It would have been 12 if they didn't need to eagle number 18, but they really knew that they had to put the pressure on Team Daly and tried to make those chips instead of lag them up there. Absolutely remarkable stuff. And, dude, you and I talk about, or you and Joe have probably talked about this in the show, these kids getting NILs and college offers.
Yeah.
All the way down to whatever age. How does a 12-year-old that hits the exact fade needed in the 16 to hit it to 4 feet to convert, that must make birdie? And then on a hole that had yielded only 3 birdies on Saturday, a couple more on Sunday, was the most difficult hole basically on the golf course. It's a 12-year-old that hits the closest shot all week onto that hole in between the flag and the water. It's the hardest hole location of anything that the tour staff set out there. And a 5-iron from 169 that he held up against the wind. Charlie Woods, man, I know you had a rough summer with some blow-up holes and you couldn't keep it emotionally together, and Tiger's been working with you on that. I have no idea if he wants to play collegiately. I have no idea if he wants to go to Stanford like his dad. I don't know if he's going to want to follow where his sister, who's 2 years older than him, will go eventually. That's none of our business, obviously. But you have to think that some people were reaching out trying to sign him to some stuff because it was just insanely impressive.
Oh, absolutely. That kid's going to make a killing if he wants to before he's even 21 in terms of marketing and sponsors and and all sorts of different money opportunities. Which leads me, I was going to ask you, I mean, he's only 12 years old, but is Charlie Woods, is he already the second biggest star right now in the golf world after what's been going on lately with him?
So remember we talked about the Player Impact Program earlier this year, that $40 million pool of money for those who basically are the most popular and trend greatly on social media?
Right, yeah.
There was a couple people on Twitter over the weekend who had these jokes going up that number one will be Tiger, number two will be Charlie, and then number three will be an actual PGA Tour player who is active in 2021. I have no idea, but I do know that now for 4 days over the course of 2 years, he has absolutely dazzled the golf world, and it has been remarkable to watch. It's been remarkable to see this. He was ruthless on Sunday. He had a Tiger stare going. And, you know, one of the things that I know you're going to ask is what's next for Tiger? And I think one of the questions that him and his medical team are going to have to answer is how far did he push it over the weekend? He hit way more tee shots than he wanted to. He hit some dazzling full swing long irons, the 4-iron into number 3 on Saturday, the 5-wood into 14 on Saturday. There were a couple more on Sunday as well. Those were not the shots he was intending on hitting. He hit driver on almost every hole in the back nine. That was not the game plan. But he wanted to win for Charlie. And I do wonder how far back this set us. But to answer the question you're going to ask, which is what's next, Tiger did clarify a couple things this weekend. Number one, the biggest hindrance to his ability to practice is going to be stamina and strength and endurance in the right leg. The good thing is that is something you can work on. That is something that you can improve in the gym and through PT and through rehab. There may be a point where he reaches his maximum with the injuries, but that will get better. What he has been told by his back doctors, not by his leg doctors, by the back doctors, is that the biggest hindrance to him being able to practice the way he wants, if the leg allows, is his back. And it should be noted that it was unseasonably warm in Orlando over the weekend. It was 85 and humid on Saturday, and it was 80 and sunny on Sunday. That is music to Tiger's back. He loves that. His back loves it. He looked way more limber. Last year, everybody was in jackets. He looked stiff last year. Looked way more flexible this year. So his biggest thing coming out of this weekend, and this is the absolutely insanely miraculous, remarkable part, is that the thing holding him back from competing on the PGA Tour in 2022 right now is his ability to walk for 5 straight days, 90 holes, and on all terrain.
Would they ever?
It makes you speechless. I don't blame you for being speechless. It's crazy if you look at what happened 300 days ago in that car accident.
Would they, you know the rules and the protocols better than me. Would they ever make an exception for somebody like Tiger for health where he could use a cart on the PGA Tour?
So the belief is that he would qualify for that. However, he shot it down in the most un-Tiger-like fashion. He was asked on Saturday. Let me find the right... Sorry, that would be the pre-tournament press conference here. He ended the conversation about this as about he was asked, quote, could you envision whenever it is applying for a cart? No, I would not. No, absolutely not. Not for a PGA Tour event. No. That's just not who I am. That's not how I've always been. And if I can't play at that level, I can't play at that level, close quote.
I actually do appreciate that. I don't even know what the term would be. I guess that pride or just the tradition of how the PGA Tour and the rules and regulations, I can appreciate that from Tiger. But I would be surprised with such a competitor that I would figure he would be willing, if that's what it takes to get him back out there, he'd be wanting to even do that.
So two things to note on this subject. Many may remember Casey Martin, the Stanford teammate of Tiger, who had a petition to the Supreme Court to get permission to use a cart. He just had his right leg amputated. In an incredibly scary and sad story, and he's doing great. But for those who have been following Casey Martin's story, he is now the head coach at Oregon. He won a national title back in 2016, I would guess offhand. At their home course, they stormed the greens, one of the great scenes in college golf ever. Casey and Tiger are very close. They talk all the time. So I think Tiger's seeing that and said, wait a second, I'm not Casey Martin here. I don't have any kind of genetic born disease that I've had my whole life. I'm in a whole different boat. This was self-inflicted. Number two, he clearly knows more than he's telling us. And my reading of that is that the doctors have told him, you're going to be able to walk if you want.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Talking with Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill, a resident golf expert who writes for PGA Magazine, joins us every Wednesday. As I've been sharing on the show, I've been getting into the holiday spirit lately. So over the weekends, I was trying to watch a holiday film, and I thought I found The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Turns out, what I thought it was a one I've never seen before, turns out it was really just John Daly winning this whole golf tournament this weekend. What? Take us through this, because I didn't think that John Daly, Team Daly, was even on the radar to win this event this past weekend. Him, his son, John Daly Jr., what does this mean for them? And I know his kid is part of the Arkansas golf team. What were your takeaways from the Daly's actually being the one winning?
By the way, did you see that he dressed up at Santa on Friday night for the official portrait?
I did not see that, but I'm not surprised. He looks just like him.
While I'm saying this, Google John Daly Santa Claus, and you'll see a picture from just this past Friday, 5 days ago. What they did is remarkable. They also shot 57. And John, who had no sense of touching the green, John Sr., who had no sense of touching the green on Saturday, made a boatload of stuff on Sunday. And then his son, who is a freshman at Arkansas, is on a team. He's gotten one start in the fall season, where he went 83, 68, 78. The University of Arkansas has played four tournaments. He's only played in one of them. And, oh, my goodness, did he show some length? He showed some swagger. Usually it's the non-pro who goes first, followed by the pro. They flip the order, which is how much they trust John Daly Jr. If you are a fan of college golf, or if you are somebody who lives in Arkansas, or if you're somebody who has an event come to your area that includes the University of Arkansas men's golf team, very successful golf school over the years, go watch John Daly II once he gets in the starting lineup consistently. This is somebody who's going to play on the PGA Tour one day. He is that good, Luke.
Yeah, that'll be something certainly to follow and track as he follows in his father's footsteps. Stepping away from this past weekend in the PNC Championship, Bryson DeChambeau put out his medical data to prove he's not using PEDs. What's the story here?
All right, Luke, you and I have been doing this a long time in terms of being diehard sports fans. We hear stuff all the time off the record, right?
Yeah.
And you hear rumors of this guy's doing this or this guy's doing that. There was nothing about Bryson using PEDs. That's the craziest thing about this. There is no evidence on the record, off the record, anonymous sources, on the record sources. Nobody was accusing him of using performance-enhancing drugs. Nobody, and even the guys who don't like him, they all respect the amount of work he's put in to get his body where he is. So he announces yesterday or the day before, I forget which, I'm going to release my medical records. And I jokingly said, is he running for office? Because usually it's the medical records and then the financial disclosures.
Right.
And it was a video of him getting blood tested and then him shirtless in the Bahamas receiving the results on his phone showing that he tested negative for all these PEDs.
Yeah, sounds
really bizarre, out of nowhere, unprompted, and not something people were accusing him of. So I can't explain that one.
Yeah, that anytime somebody offers up information like about themselves like that without anyone asking, usually reeks of like insecurity. And maybe that's the case for DeChambeau.
And that's I highly recommend Kevin Van Valkenburg of ESPN.com. I think I have that name right. He wrote a big piece on Bryson after the BMW championship, and some people around him said that he just wants to be liked.
Yeah.
He really wants to be liked. So that does reek of some insecurity there. That could be a part of this.
You know, the show's been doing so well here that people have been suspecting me of using performance enhancers as well. So I may have to put out my medical data as well to prove I'm not on PEDs. Just two cookies,
you know,
during a commercial break.
People wonder how you're able to broadcast games and do the show remotely. People have questions, Luke.
Hey, two cookies every commercial break. That's the secret sauce. That's how I get through. Until the chocolate.
You're toward them now.
Yeah, until the chocolate runs out. Then we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Then I'll have to find somebody to get me my supply. Before we let you go, I am upset that we will not have, tomorrow's Festivus. We will not be on the air, so we can't do our annual airing of grievances. Maybe I'll do it in the new year as New Year's resolutions instead. But whenever we have you on this time of the year, I always ask you your grievances. What do you have as we head into the new year? Festivus is tomorrow. What sort of grievances come to mind, either in the golf world or whatever, sports in general, life? What sort of grievances do you have these days?
My mom's biggest grievance, she wanted to point out before I started this segment, was the chocolate shortage.
So yeah, I get that.
We'll get that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that one out of the way. My golf grievances are twofold. Can we just understand that Top Tracer technology is going to be used on almost every golf broadcast now? Do we have to keep reminding folks who it's presented by or sponsored by? I like having fun with it, but it just makes for like recurring TV week after week after week. I understand Top Tracer and Top Golf want their mentions. Let's try to figure out a better way of doing it. Number two, all the stuff about breakaway tours. Can somebody try the format in a regular event once? People are trying to do Formula One. They're trying to figure out why Drive to Survive worked, the Netflix series, and then try to figure out a team format for golf. Can we actually figure out if a shotgun start, where you start everybody on different holes, works on TV? Can we figure out if teams and franchises and drafts and all this stuff actually works? A lot of money being thrown around for a concept that has not been proven in any tour, in any level, in any anything. They think of teams as the Ryder Cup. Well, that's not what you're proposing, folks. Please think this through. I'm not against changes in golf. I am just against haphazardly throwing out ideas, thinking that they're gospel, and then not trying them first. That's a recipe for just disaster. My dad's grievance is that the Jets haven't been disbanded yet. and finally, I'll just say this. And we don't talk politics on this show. We don't talk, current events a lot on this show, in this segment. I will be very happy when the COVID list goes away.
Yeah. You and me both.
In sports.
Yep. Absolutely.
And, just health and happiness to everybody. But those are my grievances for 2021.
Hey, I like them. They're good. He's Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill, writes for PGA Magazine, joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. Appreciate the time as always, Jeremy, and we'll catch up with you in the new year. Happy holidays to you and your family.
First of all, thank you, Luke, for having me the last 51 weeks plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Number two, happy holidays to you and yours. Happy holidays to Joe and your family. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Am I the last guest of 2021 on this show?
Yeah, that's the plan. We only got about an hour left of the Mara Midday Show in 2021. We're off for the rest of the holidays. So, yeah, you're the grand finale.
I am dropping the phone mic, I guess.
That's right.
Just to use the metaphor. It's been an honor, a privilege, and I look forward to previewing the Century Tournament of Champions in the new year on this show.
Looking forward to it. We'll talk to you in 2022. He's Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill. By the way, in terms of a mic drop, appreciate all the time from Jeremy every Wednesday and all year long. We have very few weekly guests. I'm really not a fan of the weekly guests. I don't like it. I think it's kind of lazy to take you behind the curtain. But we have, I think, only three. And the two others are only during the football season because they add something unique, a betting perspective and a fantasy perspective. But golf is so big around here, I appreciate Jeremy always joining us each week throughout the year. In terms of the mic drop, I've said this before. I love these series where they go back. Nick Cage was supposed to have a show on Netflix. I don't know if it actually ever came out, but it was supposed to look at the use of certain words, like bad words, curse words, in pop culture. The mic drop, they tie it back to Coming to America. And Randy Watson, Sexual Chocolate, when he drops the mic, they say that that's the first mic drop.
That boy good.
That's not bad. Yeah, the barbers in the crowd, or that guy's really just like the hang-on to the barber. But yeah, great scene. We've talked a lot about Coming to America on the show, especially when the new one came out. Love that movie. But they believe Eddie Murphy invented, everyone says that now, right, mic drop. Eddie Murphy, that was the first mic drop from 1988 in Coming to America when Sexual Chocolate, Randy Watson, drops the mic at the end of the song. So there you go. A little trivia for you this holiday season.
Yeah, double good.
I did not prepare a list of grievances this year because I knew we weren't going to be on the air for Festivus tomorrow. And look, I'm a man of tradition. I don't want to do an airing of grievances when it's not Festivus. You got to do it on the holiday. I don't celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving on any other days. You got to celebrate it on the day. If you're not going to be around, sorry, you know, you miss out on your turkey. I'm not going to eat a turkey a week before because I'm not going to be around for Thanksgiving. So I didn't prepare a list, but I could tell you just off the top of my head, when it comes to sports, a grievance I have, or call it a pet peeve, we have to stop skipping words in injury reports. Adam Schefter did this yesterday. Broadcasters do it all the time. It is a pet peeve that has started to drive me nuts in recent years. Schefter, when reporting on Chris Godwin's injury yesterday, just said, Godwin has an ACL. He's out for the year. We all have ACLs. What does that mean? And you'll hear Nance do it all the time. He's out with a knee. What does that mean? We all have knees. Give me the specific injury. Out with an ACL tear or whatever the injury was. He's out with an ACL. We've gotten so lazy, we can't even finish the injury reports. We're trying to minimize all the words. And it's not just on Twitter. It's also on the broadcast. Nance does it all the time. And he's not the only one. Plenty of broadcasters do. He's not going to return with an ankle. What about it? We got other guys playing on the field with ankles. What's wrong with his particular ankle? That's a pet peeve. If I had to give you a grievance in the sports world, that would be one. Finish the whole report. He's out with a sprained ankle. Instead, he's out with an ankle. Or just say injury. Why are we not using the word injury anymore? He's out with an ankle injury. Okay. So he's got an ankle. He's not going to return. Everybody has an ankle. What does that mean? That's my grievance. I hate that. And Adam Schefter even tweeted it yesterday. Godwin out with an AC. I forget the exact phrasing. I think that's what it was. Or no, Godwin has, because that's what people always say. Not even out. He has a knee. Okay, everyone has a knee. Congrats. What's your point? Godwin has an ACL. He's out for the year, was the tweet from Adam Schefter. What does that mean? Everybody, most people have an ACL. If they didn't already tear it. What's the injury? That's my pet peeve. Coming up, I have some thoughts on that whole golf thing Jeremy was talking about, and Charlie Woods as well. I have to stop myself from saying Charlie Murphy anytime I just start to say his name. Charlie Woods. Speaking of Eddie Murphy, Charlie Murphy. Charlie Woods, thoughts on the golf world when we come back after that conversation with Jeremy. Plus, we'll start to look ahead to this weekend in the NFL. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Underrated Christmas song. Right here.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a downer on Christmas, but eventually things work out. Yeah. So you have to listen to the whole song.
That's right, it's a happy story. She meets somebody at the store. By the way, she's going to the store, I think, to buy cranberries for her turkey. She's having Christmas by herself. She's making a turkey. Wrong holiday, but that's okay. Eat turkey on Christmas if you wish. But she has to go to the store to go get cranberries. I got to be honest. If it's cranberries I'm missing, I'm not going to the store and meeting Mr. Wright in the cashier line as a stroke of serendipity, I'm just forgoing the cranberries and having my turkey anyways. I'm not a cranberry guy. But hey, it worked out for her. She had to go get some cranberries on Christmas Eve. She meets some guy, and they live happily ever after, we assume. That's a good Christmas song right there.
Or at least through New Year's.
Yeah, sure. Why not? At least for the next couple of hours. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Jeremy Schilling joining us to talk golf. He's on Twitter at Jay Schilling. He joins us every Wednesday. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Just some thoughts in regards to what we saw this past weekend in the PNC Championship in the golf world. A couple things. Number one, John Daly actually winning. I didn't think that would be a possibility. Now, I've met through work and just my own personal life being in the right place at the right time, I've met a ton of athletes over the years, and the majority of them have been really good. Daly, and it was on a golf course. He was one of the few, though, that I have a bad memory of. But I always try to give benefit of the doubt to celebrities like that, because they could be having a bad day, or it could be a bad timing, or it just takes one bad meeting, and then you have somebody like me go on the radio and tell you how much of a jerk John Daly was, when really, you know, it was just a bad experience, and he's been great to fans elsewhere. I don't know. I don't know what Daly's truly like as a person. I could tell you I had a bad experience with him, so I haven't been the biggest John Daly fan since. But I saw videos. He wins that tournament with his kid. Then I saw videos on social media of him smoking cigarettes out of his nose and backwards, putting like the lit end of the cigarette into his mouth, like he was Kramer in that episode when Kramer was spying in the bar. And I'm thinking, man, this guy just won a golf tournament. This is the guy that just beat everybody else, him and his son. And the guy's smoking cigarettes out of his nose. You know, I always thought that bowlers were the greatest athletes, because you try to play your sport at a high level while one throating a hot dog and chugging a bunch of beer, right, and being vastly overweight and whatever else goes into being a bowler. And you try to go out there. I mean, my grandmother is in her 90s, and she's still a great bowler. Those are the best athletes in the world. But now, I don't know, I think maybe it's John Daly. The guy's smoking cigarettes through his nose, and he's going out there and beating everybody on the golf course. They always told you have to take care of yourself. You have to be in pristine athletic shape. You have to diet, right, like Tom Brady, and work out. And here I see John Daly looking like Tim Allen in a crappy Christmas movie, smoking cigarettes through his nose, and he's beating everybody on the golf course. That may be the greatest athlete of all time. But in regards to golf itself, I asked Jeremy this question. I think the biggest star still in golf right now is Tiger Woods, and we don't know what his future holds. I think the second biggest star in golf right now is his son, Charlie Woods. And it's a great story. Problem is, the kid's only 12 years old. And so while it's a great story and you can track him, and I had buddies, you know, texting over the weekend finding odds that you could bet on Charlie to win a major by the time, I think it was by the time he's 25. It was like 800 to 1 odds, something like that. Right? And friends of mine were trying to bet on it because they think he's going to be a star. It's a great story, but it's still years away. And so the fact that Charlie probably already is the second biggest star in golf, it's fun for the Woods family. It's not good for the golf world. That Tiger, who knows, may never golf again on the PGA Tour. He's still the number one star. Now his kid is probably the number two star. I think more people are into Charlie Woods than any other golfer. He's only 12. And I think that's an indictment on the sport. And we always wonder, you know, what's going to be next once Tiger hangs it up, once he's done. And it may come a little bit sooner than we thought because of this accident. But that's always been the concern for the golf world. How are you going to replace Tiger Woods? Well, it turns out maybe it's going to be his kid to do it. It just may take a few years. But that part is a credit to Charlie because, and look, I don't want to put those expectations on him. He's only 12 and he's playing really well. I don't know if he even wants to be a professional golfer. Who knows? I mean, it seems like he loves it. He's golfing with his father. He's into it. He looks just like his dad. He obviously has skill, but who knows? Maybe in a couple of years, he's like, I want to do something else. I don't want to be a professional golfer. I have no idea what's going to happen. He's only 12. Who knows? When I was 12, right, I wanted to be like a rock star. Then you realize, like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I want to be in the NBA. Then you realize, oh, that's definitely not going to happen. And things can change as you grow up. So I have no idea what Charlie Woods, what his future holds or his aspirations athletically contain. But I think it's bad for the golf world that he's like the second biggest star already, because we don't know what his future holds or when that's going to be. But in regards to replacing Tiger, look, Michael Jordan has a couple of kids. They played college basketball, never made it professionally, and they weren't all that great. LeBron's kid is, you know, a star, at least in name, but he's, at this point, nowhere close to LeBron. He's expected to play in the NBA, but I don't think he's, from what we've seen, I don't think he's going to be any sort of star. Usually the kids are not as good as the father because those expectations are so large. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. LeBron's right behind him. And then you expect the kid to be that good. It's like, well, we've only had one Michael. No one else has been like Michael Jordan. Now you want his kid. I know he has, you know, his genes, at least half of them, but you want it to be that good?
Imagine if you expected every NBA player to be that good. They'd all seem like disappointments. And for Charlie Woods, right, he may very well, end, who knows, he may end up being at least close to Tiger. I mean, I don't know if we can expect any golfer to have the career of Tiger Woods. But Charlie is that he's a little bit older than Tiger was when Tiger came on the main stage. But Charlie is that young kid already that he seems like, he's the next star already, like a young phenom in the golf world. And it reminds me of like The Sopranos with James Gandolfini, where his son in the new movie that they came out with around Halloween, his son played. Now, it helps that he was playing the kid version of Gandolfini, so it was a perfect fit. And he's his kid, so you should have some resemblance there. But not often do you have the star. We worry about how are you going to replace this star. And not often are they replaced by their actual kid. So you could go from Tiger Woods, we're so worried about who's going to replace Tiger. Maybe it's going to be his own son. And you go from Tiger Woods to Charlie Woods, who, if you watch him out there, he's like a carbon copy of his father. He looks just like him and the mannerisms and everything. Maybe that's the solution for the golf world. But I think as we sit here today, wrapping up 2021, it's not a good indication for that game of golf or the PGA Tour that I really do believe. I don't think it's hyperbole. I think the second biggest star right now. I mean, I got more texts about Charlie Woods over the past week than probably any other golfer not named Tiger. I mean, maybe Phil Mickelson. But that's how I try to judge things. You know, my buddies, some of them are really into golf, but does it reach the average sports fan? That's the true test. People will do like the household test. Does your mother, does your wife, does your girlfriend know that athlete? If so, then yeah, they're a star. Right? If your wife, girlfriend, mother, sister, whoever, they're not into sports, but they know a particular athlete, right, then yeah, he's a household name. He's become a big star. So it's the same thing like with average sports fans for a particular sport. If your buddy's not a big golf fan, but he's talking to you about Charlie Woods, but he doesn't talk to you about Brooks Koepka or Bryson DeChambeau, then yeah, that's a pretty good sign that, you know, Charlie's a pretty big star. And I got a lot of texts over the past week about Charlie and how impressive he was by people that, you know, usually don't care so much about golf. I think he is the second biggest star already. I don't think that bodes well for golf currently. It could bode well for the sport down the road, but we got to wait on this thing. Because I said last week when we were talking to Jeremy, it's easy to forget. I mean, the kid's only 12 years old. He's young. What were you doing at 12? It's easy to forget and treat this kid like he's an adult and the next star, but he's only 12. You know, he's still trying to learn to sing Feliz Navidad in school, as we talked about on the show yesterday. There's a callback. If you ever miss anything on the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. All right, coming up, week 15 just wrapped up in the NFL, but we may start to look ahead to week 16. We're waiting until 2:30, leading into coverage of Gamecocks basketball against Army today. Their coverage begins at 2:30 right here. We'll take you up until that point. And before we go, next hour, I'll give you my picks for not only this weekend, because we do picks every week on the show, and so I figured why not, but also we have to look ahead because this is our final show until 2022. By the time we're on the air next, we'll have our national championship set up in college football. Clemson and South Carolina will have played their bowl games. Those are next week. So I'll give you my rundown, my expectations, and my picks for those big games in college football coming up next hour before we leave today. We'll wrap up hour two next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Outside a department store, a gang of kids came over and mugged me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. They said, "Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys."
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll look ahead to week 16 in the NFL season. Wrap up hour two. Quick story time here in the Morrow Midday Show. I was here in the area for Thanksgiving. Didn't go home to the family. We were on the air the next day on Black Friday. So I went out. I found a local place. I always find a different restaurant every Thanksgiving each year to go grab a meal. And I went and I had a Thanksgiving meal. And this song there, that Christmas song from, that's the Kinks, right?
Yeah, Father Christmas by the Kinks.
It's grown on me. It's actually a pretty good Christmas song.
And you don't hear it too often. I think I heard it in a recent Christmas movie. Maybe the new Home Alone. I don't remember. I heard it in a movie. And I thought, all right, nice. It's a good song when you hear it come on like that.
I played it during Bobby's show when I filled in that Friday.
He didn't appreciate it?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he acted like he didn't appreciate it. But now, I don't know if he prefers the Chris Jericho version, which I also played.
Oh, yes, of course. You know,
or the original by the Kinks.
Yeah,
so.
Good question. That's a good song, though. I don't think that's on a lot of people's radars, but that's a good song from the Kinks. So anyways, long story short, I'm at this restaurant. I was eating at the bar watching the game, the Lions-Bears game on Thanksgiving. There was a guy who was more than half in the bag. He was having himself a toasty Thanksgiving. And that song came on. They were playing Christmas music, even though it was Thanksgiving. And he was talking to everybody at the bar, offering to buy a drink if anybody knew the song. Nobody knew the song. Of course, I knew the song, the Kinks. But I didn't really care to interact with the guy. So I actually just kept my mouth shut. I didn't need his drink. And he, until the song ended, the guy would not stop talking about it. So there you go. Random story time here on the Mora Midday Show. I was sitting there just trying to enjoy my Thanksgiving meal. And some drunk guy, he had bet on the Chicago Bears. And they ended up winning, if you remember, right, in that last second field goal. So he was over the moon. But that guy was having a good time. That was the early game, too, right? It was pretty early in the day. And he was already having a good day. Big Kinks fan, that guy. Don't know his name. I was going to, you know, every Friday on this show, we usually run through all the games of the NFL weekend. And we were going to do that here, but I know it's been weeks since we've had a wrestling wrap-up. And this time of year, it's always about trying to give joy and giving gifts and being selfless, right? And so I figured, instead of doing our rundown, I'll give you a few thoughts on the NFL schedule this weekend before we go. But instead of doing our rundown of all the NFL games this weekend, some of them, who cares? They're meaningless. There's some bad games on the schedule. I thought, let's call an audible this segment, and I'll give you all a gift that you've been dying for weeks this holiday season. Let's do a wrestling wrap-up instead, because I know it's been a while. I know Joe came prepared today. And so, hey, you know, it's like you did the extra credit and the teacher didn't come collect it in class. Or you did a homework assignment and the teacher ends up saying, like, oh, forget it. That's okay. I'm not going to grade it. And you feel like, oh, I did the work. So we are going to reward the work done. It's time for the first time in a long while, our weekly wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For Producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
Well, what are we waiting for? We're going to have some wrestling on Christmas this year.
Oh, boy.
That's right. AEW Rampage will be on Saturday night instead of Friday night.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, that and as well as this week's SmackDown will be taped tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, so everything will be in the can, and all the wrestlers and the crew get to, you know, sit at home with their families and,
that's good.
And all that stuff. And that's something to look forward to. You don't have any bowl games on Christmas, so you get some wrestling.
That's right. What a gift.
Yeah, you know, on Christmas night.
Yeah.
Yeah. After everything's already done, you know, and you can enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you can definitely enjoy the new year coming up, because WWE will present Day One on New Year's Day from Atlanta.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And then, of course, a three-night event by New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 16, which will be on the 4th and 5th from Tokyo and on the 8th from Yokohama.
Oh.
Okay. Impact will present Hard to Kill on the 8th from Dallas. Major League Wrestling will present Blood and Thunder on the 2nd from the world-famous Gillies in North Richland Hills, Texas. And, of course, NXT will present New Year's Evil on the 4th.
Oh.
Okay. And, here's something interesting. There's going to be a lot of cross-promoting and cross, you know, championships and things like that. Now, one, New Year's Evil will have Cruiserweight champion Roderick Strong against North American champion Carmelo Hayes in a unification match. So those two titles are going to be unified.
Oh, how about that?
Okay. Night three of New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom, which is coming from Yokohama, that night is going to be New Japan against Pro Wrestling NOAH. So just think if you would have had WWF against WCW in the late 90s one night.
Oh, I would have loved it.
Okay, and then Mickie James will defend the Knockouts Championship against former champ Deonna Purrazzo, and that's going to be at Hard to Kill, and that's going to be in a Texas Death Match, which will also be a champion against champion match because Purrazzo is now also the AAA Reina de Reinas champion, which translates to Queen of Queens.
Mm.
Okay, and then also you're still going to see Ring of Honor's championships being defended. World champion Jonathan Gresham defended that title recently at a Game Changer wrestling event last week. He came out on top against AJ Gray. And women's champion Roxy will defend against Miranda Gordy at the Blood and Thunder event by Major League Wrestling. And Gordy is the daughter of Terry Bam Bam Gordy of the Fabulous Freebirds.
Oh, wow.
And it's also going to be sort of a interesting twist there, because she is from Dallas and Roxy is from Houston.
Ooh.
So, a little Lone Star battle there.
That's right.
Okay, Tajiri. Okay, one of your guys from back in the day.
Yeah.
He's still at it. He successfully defended the Major League Wrestling Middleweight Championship against Atsuki Ayaji, I think is how his name is pronounced. That was at an All Japan event, and you can see that on YouTube now on the finale for MLW Fusion Alpha.
Ooh.
Okay, the NWA has announced they're going to bring a new show. Now, did you admit a lot of people probably miss, Saturday morning or noontime wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're bringing it back via YouTube with NWA USA. Okay, that's going to be their second show. Power will, remain on the Fight app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the USA show will, feature the junior heavyweight division as well as the mid-card level, which is those going for the national championship.
Oh.
Okay, and then also the Crockett Cup has been penciled in for the spring in Nashville. So that's a big event that started in the 80s. It was brought back a couple years ago. Last year's event was canceled because of the pandemic. But it looks like they're going to try to bring it back, in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Glenn Jacobs, who was Kane, has filed to run for re-election as Knox County Mayor in August.
Nice. He's got my vote.
Yep. Yeah, he won with over 66% of the vote a few years ago.
That's right.
Okay, and NXT UK has new tag team champions. Mustache Mountain defeated Pretty Deadly, and that was done a couple of weeks ago. NXT Zoe Stark, who had an actual ACL meniscus tear, she's off the crutches and hopefully be back in the ring sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's good.
Mark Henry pretty much confirmed he's not getting back into a wrestling ring. He's confirmed his career is, over or as far as in-ring. So he's just doing his commentary and things like that. And he says if anyone hits him, he's calling the cops.
That's a big dude. I don't think anyone's going to hit him.
Okay. Also, Brody King, a big independent star. And he was a co-holder of the Ring of Honor and NWA World Tag Team Championships with PCO. He has signed with AEW. And also, he is the lead singer of the band God's Hate.
Oh.
Speaking of singing, recently released WWE talent Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Who, that was kind of odd where he just kind of, was woozying around and left the match in the middle of the match through the crowd and all that. And he was released when he declined a chance to go to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's doing an acoustic music tour, and that's including a cover of his entrance theme, No More Words.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Okay. And then we also have Bret Hart said he, when he was inducted into Canada's Walk of Fame last week, he said he's not interested in doing a regular thing on screen, but he would like to do something special, like have a match against Donald Trump with Vince McMahon as the guest referee.
That would be something.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin Owens has signed a new contract with WWE, reportedly in the $2 to $3 million range.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's been rumored that Sami Zayn has signed a new contract as well.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Okay, and also, you know what? I just ran out of stuff. Well, actually, had some sad news to report. Jimmy Rave, who is a talent in Impact and Ring of Honor,
yeah,
was suffering from MRSA, and eventually he had an arm and both legs amputated, but he passed away earlier in the month.
Yes, I did see that. That was a bad story.
Okay. And we're going to finish the year with a quote from friend of the show, Amber Nova,
that's
just on her Twitter account she put up a couple days ago. That's complicated, afraid, show up anyways. Do it scared, be brave, be bold, be you.
I like it. Like a New Year's resolution heading into 2022. A wrestling wrap-up. We got it in. Final one of the year. As much as we could in the wrestling world. Coming up, I'll give you my picks for the rest of 2021 in football. Hour 3 next.